Sex is one of humanity's greatest sources of pleasure. So why is it still shrouded in guilt, shame, and misunderstanding? Welcome to Are You Available? I'm your host, Lana Jade, sex worker turned counselor and sexual educator, and I'm here to unpack some of those issues that have come to light from my time in the adult industry. Hey there, and welcome to today's podcast of Are You Available? Thank you for joining me once more. Today, I'd love to talk to you guys about some of the super common assumptions around the industry, like around the workers, around the industry itself, around the clients, that kind of thing. So with this, I actually asked Instagram what their assumptions were of the industry. And from one perspective, you could expect that people that are following me already are quite open-minded and accepting of the industry. But, you know, from the assumptions I got, I don't think that's the case. Some of them are pretty negative and derogatory and pretty loaded and just misinformed, essentially. So because this is actually a pretty big topic and it could go for literally hours if I went into all of the assumptions, which I won't because it would be boring. But I am going to do this over two podcasts just to give you a little bit of a break. So you don't have to sit there and listen to my whole, you know, my voice for an hour, over an hour, actually, probably. So yeah, it is, there's a lot in these. They're all pretty multifaceted. I'm going to talk just generally about them. Some of them I'm going to do separate podcasts on because there's a lot in it. So first of all, assumption number one, sex work becoming more mainstream has done more damage than good for sex workers. And I'm not really sure why I started with this particular assumption because it's a bit left field from what I was thinking, but let's run with it. So I find this a pretty interesting assumption. And obviously you can tell that this person must be in the industry and has a downturn of profits since there's been a more normalization of sex work in the media, or not in the media, on social media, I would say, more than the media itself. So from a business perspective, yeah, okay, I could agree. In a sense, the profits are less, or it's harder to make as much money. You got to try harder. It's like any other business. It's supply and it's demand. And there's been a larger supply of sex workers available to relatively the same amount of clients that were there originally. And clients doesn't matter to clients whether it's accepted or not. People are going to use sex workers, whether or not it's socially acceptable. It's an itch they need to scratch. They don't need social acceptance for it. In fact, a majority of times that's why they're seeing sex workers, because their needs and their desires are not socially accepted in whatever form that comes in, like if they're married and, you know, so that's why they're seeing sex workers. They don't need the social acceptance. But the fact that it's looked upon as more socially acceptable to be a sex worker, or it's less stigmatizing to be a sex worker, there's still a lot of stigma, don't get me wrong. But there's this illusion that there's no repercussions of being in the industry. Again, it's nothing more than an illusion. There's plenty. But it has paved the way for people to feel more comfortable about embarking on a career in the sex industry because, you know, the likelihood of them being, the repercussions being theirs appears less. The other side of that is how glamorized it's become, which is exactly one of the reasons why I started doing this, is because I don't want to glamorize the industry. It's not glamorous, but I don't want to demonize the industry either. It's a real industry. There's a lot to it. There's good parts and there's bad parts, but you can't glaze over one to sell the other part, which is what a lot of people do on social media. It's because they've got this perception of, or they want to portray a perception that they're killing it. They're like, they're one better than everyone else because they tricked the system by, you know, charging men for money, and now they've got all these designing goods, whatever. But that might be true, and it is true. There's definitely people that are able to achieve that, but that's not the whole industry, for one. And secondly, it is damaging in that sense because it fools people into believing that that's what they're going to get. You know, that you're going to start in the sex industry and all of a sudden you're handed all this money, like you're just being paid for existing and being like, conventionally attractive or whatever. So in a sense, it's damaging in that way because it's an illusion, and people are naive when they start in the industry expecting a really glamorized version of what it is, when there's so much to it. And the more naive you are in the industry, or the less experience or less education you have, the more likelihood that you're going to have a bad time. So even when I was writing this down and planning what I was going to say, I didn't actually come up with all of that. So there is some negative aspects of it being more normalized, but also there are some good aspects of it too. And it has decreased the stigma. You know, there's still a long way to go, but I, from my personal experience, and I can only speak from my experience, and I'm very out and open about what I do. So I've monitored this since the beginning. And when I would tell them people I was a sex worker years ago, you could see the shock, disgust, and pity. Pity was the main one that flashed across their face. And they're like, well, if that's what you got to do, you got to do it, right? And I was like, I don't have to do this. I want to do this. And they couldn't comprehend that I was choosing this career. And that was standard. That was just a standard response from everybody. And now people, you know, I can still see flashes across their face of emotions while they're trying to understand what they're feeling about themselves. But there's not as much shock and there's no pity. And people make a concerted effort to control how they are coming across when they give me that, when they're giving their response. Before, people didn't give a fuck. Like, if they were disgusted by it, you'd know. There was just no comprehension that this is a choice or this is a desired career. Now there is. So, and with that does come, it paves the way for conditions to increase and become better for us. You know, we have been devoid of basic human rights and decency for so long because of our career choice. And while it's a slow process, and in some parts of the world, it probably hasn't changed at all, but I think here it definitely has, and I think that is more important than a loss of profits to our business. Assumption number two, sex workers can't have genuine affection for clients, or as someone else said, all connections are fake and sex workers fool you into believing they are real. This one has made me laugh a little bit. I mean, this can mean so many things, but it's pretty often said by a jaded man who has believed the illusion of the connection that they had with a stripper or someone in a parlor, or perhaps like a long-term escort, you know. Our job is simply to make someone feel wanted, desired, give them what they believed was a genuine lustful experience. But this is where it gets confusing for some people. We can have genuine affection for our clients. I genuinely enjoy the company of many of my clients. I look forward to seeing them. I want to hear how they've been. Like, I actually really enjoy the time together. But there's some clients who get swept up in the illusion of it all. Like, we aim to stroke your ego. We want you to feel good. You're getting our very best, and we want to make you feel amazing. Like, that is our super job. Like, we might be having a really shitty day, but we put a smile on and we fawn all over our clients because that's what they're paying for. They're paying for an experience. They're paying for attention. When people are lacking genuine attention in their lives, it can be hard to recognize that this feeling is conditional. I mean, it doesn't mean we don't care about our clients or we don't have real affection for them, but with it comes condition. It's an illusion created to give you an experience that will have you feeling incredible. So to say our feelings are genuine isn't true, but it is true that this is a version of ourselves that essentially isn't real, even within us. I mean, my feelings for my clients are real, you know, like I genuinely care for them. I build friendships with them, or it's like a relation. It's a different type of relationship, obviously. It's not about me. It's about them. And my behavior is always about them. I can't, you know, really be myself. So they're not even falling for a person that's real, you know. I could have friendships with some of my clients outside of work, you know, like the genuinely real friendships. Though you could look at that and take it as a really negative way to view the industry and to view us as workers, but it's really not that. It's conditional, but it's black and white, and it simplifies everything so much. You know, like There's no strings. It's, you know, the rules, you know, the boundaries, and you can just enjoy somebody's company until it's not enjoyable anymore. Like, you've got the best of somebody, though you're paying a fee for it, you know it's going to be a good time. So it's fulfilling for both parties. And I mean, just as much as a client has a right to not see a worker again, I don't see many clients because I just really don't enjoy the company. So when it doesn't start feeling good for me either, then if I can't portray a genuine connection with them, and I know that they're not getting the service that they need and that what they're here for, then I won't see them. Like, so give us a little bit of credit, man. Assumption number three, sex workers are materialistic. So this one is always one of my favorite ones to talk about because it's like, as though sex workers are the only people who go to work to afford a better lifestyle or a higher quality of things. Like we're the only people that spend our money from our job on things. Like, how bizarre is that to think, you know? There's plenty of people that just are happy with the simple things. They don't need luxury things. They don't need whatever. They're just quite content with whatever they're making. But then on the other side of that, you've got a huge number of people who hustle. Like, they hustle. They work hard. They go to work to afford better things, to live in a beautiful house, to have quality shoes and handbags, all of the things. Like, that's actually not something that is sex industry or sex work. Like, that whole thing is really not exclusive to sex workers at all. There's so many people that want to have Rolexes, they want to have million-dollar homes, whatever. But the other thing is, so many people outside of the sex industry will go into like a mountain of debt for people to have this perception of them that they're wealthy. But I mean, a lot of the time we can't actually go into mountains of debt to get the things we want because of the industry we're in. There's a lot of, you know, there's a lot more we need to prove to get loans and things like that. So yeah, we have nice things, but we can afford them when we buy them. Like, if we have a designer bag, we didn't put it on our credit card. We paid for it with cash. So look at that however you want, but it doesn't really mean we're materialistic. It's just really interesting to me that sex workers, because they do a job that is essentially fun. It's something that people feel, you know, is an easy way out of working hard. It's not true, but that's the view. So if you do it, you're either desperate, right? Like, you're viewed as desperate or you're viewed as materialistic. It's funny that people can't view sex workers doing a job in the same way that they view themselves going to work to earn money to buy the things that they want. Like, there's such a separation between the two different things, but essentially it's exactly the same. Like, you go to work to spend on whatever you want, just like we do. I mean, there's tons wrong with this assumption, but another side of it is that it's the assumption, or like I touched on a moment ago, it's the assumption that most of us are killing it, you know? Like, if you're a sex worker, then you're obviously making tons of money, but that's actually not true. There's a huge part of the industry, the majority of the industry is just working to live, and that's so just not even acknowledged ever. That's either you're a desperate drug addict and you have no other options, so you're a sex worker, or you're a materialistic whore. Like, there's not the perception that you're just working to live like everybody else. Another side of this, though, is, oh, you know, if you are in that bracket where you can spend on luxury goods, you are targeting clients, or your ideal client is somebody who has a large disposable income, a loss of profits to our business. They are already spending their money on fine quality things, and they want somebody, they want a companion who matches their lifestyle. You're not going to suit their view. Or you're going to look out of place if you're in a setting where, you know, it's really mismatched in, so, you know, you need to look the part. You need to buy the things that will get them interested in you, because if you don't have some designer aspects, then it lessens your appeal to those people. It doesn't make it impossible, but it's a lot easier to appeal to people who have that disposable income if you can resonate with them. Another part of this is that so many people in the industry don't come from money. I don't think that that's a stereotype that's untrue. I think it's very true, particularly with just about everybody I know. There's obviously some people that, you know, are from different circumstances, but they didn't come from money. A lot of the time we start because we are in need of money fast. That's just part of it. And there's nothing wrong with that. The thing is, we stay because we love it. But when you don't have any financial literacy, or your financial literacy is poor, and you don't have the skills, and you've been working your ass off and not being able to pay for things, and suddenly you've got a really good income, you do go a little bit crazy. Maybe you've been waiting for years and years and years to buy a designer bag, like it was felt so out of reach. And then all of a sudden, when you've reached your goal, you want to celebrate that. You want to buy the things that you've been working hard for. Money's there to, you know, to enjoy your life. And the joy that can come from purchasing something that you've been admiring and lusting after for years is just such bliss. So to wrap up my little rambling on sex workers are materialistic, not really the case, just like you. They pay for things with their income because that's why they go to work. Assumption number 4, sex workers do it to pay for a habit. So this is what I touched on a minute ago, you know, the two views, either sex workers are desperate or materialistic cause. So this is another one I have really strong feelings about, and for so many reasons, because it's actually stigmatizing two different groups of people, stigmatizing drug users, and it's stigmatizing sex workers. And in the same vein as what I was talking about before, I mean, what drug user doesn't use their income to pay for their habit? It's just mind-blowing. You know, what else would they be using other than their income? But the fact that it's more degrading, or it's looked down upon when sex workers are using their income to pay for a habit. So it's like, oh my gosh, she is so gross, like she's just a whore to pay for her drugs. Like, obviously I don't have those views, right? But every drug user is using their income to pay for their habit. That's how addiction, well, not addiction, dependency works. It's complicated. It's so complex. Drug use does not discriminate. If you're a drug dependent, that's where your income's going, sex worker or not. Like, there's this belief within society that dependency drives people to sex work, and that's one of the main reasons people begin. But I find it really interesting. I mean, I believe that there is definitely a factor for some people, but insinuating that people are a sex worker for drug use only is really narrow-minded. And then secondly, that is why they're sex workers. Like, come on. The funny thing is that people I know who have this view are regular drug takers themselves. Yeah, because they have what is a more respectable career in their eyes. It's not problematic to spend their income on it. Like, they'll still work week to week, right? And what are they spending their money on? Drugs. But because they work in marketing or whatever, then, hey, that's no problem. But as soon as a sex worker buys drugs, it's like, how typical, dirty prostitute needing to feed her habit. Like, what a fucking joke. Australia as a whole has a really fascinating drug culture, and it changes really often. The trends are, like, actually really interesting when you get into it, but it's a whole other topic, and it's not actually stemmed around sex work at all. So, and there's no denying that drugs are quite prevalent in some parts of the industry. I'd be lying if I said anything else. But why do you think that is? Like, who is bringing the drugs to the booking? Like, who are we servicing? Who wants the experience involving drugs? Clients do. So clients with high incomes working in high-powered jobs or just generally anyone, they're the people who bring the drugs to the bookings, creating a drug culture within the industry. But no one really looks at that, and nobody cares either, because they don't care if a lawyer is using drugs because they've earned the right to. If you're a sex worker in society's eyes, you have no right and no business spending your income on drugs because you don't work in an industry that has the respect that allows you the option to spend your money that way, apparently. So on to assumption number 5, sex workers are addicted to sex. So yeah, I mean, this is a pretty incredible thought to have. I mean, I can see where some people get this view, and it's because sex workers obviously have to be sexual in nature and enjoy sex to want a career in sex. Like, if you hate having sex, then you're probably not going to be a sex worker. Like, why would you be a hooker if you don't enjoy sex, or you're uncomfortable with your sexuality, and you know. So from that space, it's easy to see where this assumption comes from. But, you know, this isn't about us. there's a lot of shame around sex as a society. So, you know, there is a lot of people that aren't going to do this work. Sex workers, on the other hand, are connected to their sexuality. They are connected to their sexual energy. They can use it, and they can create an authentic experience. They can cultivate the sexual energy needed to service clients. So, but we aren't the ones that enjoy the sex, right? Like, our bodies might respond in a way that we physically enjoy it, like a physiological response. But it takes more than that to enjoy sex. Obviously, as you know, you can have sex, or maybe you don't know. That was an assumption I made about you. But you can have sex with somebody you're not attracted to. You could probably even hate them, and your body can still respond the way that it does. You could still come. You can still feel. It could still feel good. You could still orgasm, because they're just hitting the right spots. And that actually is a really conflicting aspect of sex work. It was at the beginning. I'm like, why? I didn't want to come with clients because I felt like I was robbing myself of an experience that I had in my personal life. And it felt kind of disgusting to me that my body would react that way. I don't have those views anymore, and my views about everything has changed, and I've grown and I've developed as a person. But that was my initial response. So I was a sex worker. I was doing this job because I'm obviously very sexual in nature. I connect with my sexuality well, and I could give clients an authentic experience. I didn't like them. I didn't want them really to be fucking me. But my body responded in a way that was positive, and it really enjoyed it. And I felt like my body was actually betraying me in a sense. So no, sex workers don't actually become sex workers to have sex all the time. We absolutely could have sex anytime we wanted without turning it into a job. I suppose the fact that we are comfortable with sex and expressing it opens a door to move into this career. But we aren't the ones gaining sexual gratification from our appointments. We are not addicted to sex. But I mean, I'm sure there's probably people that are, and I can't speak for those people, and I can't speak for everybody. I might sound a little bit bitter in saying this, but I do think that this applies a little bit more to men, our male sex worker counterparts. So I definitely get a vibe, and from my experience, there's definitely men who are addicted to sex and do choose this career for that purpose. But from a female perspective, I don't think that's the thing that drives the majority of us. And again, that is my opinion on men. It's not gospel, and I'll get thrown. Oh my gosh, I'll be torn down for that statement. But it is what it is. In my opinion, we might discuss that in more detail on another day. So you have to remember as well, though, like, we're enjoying it, right? And a lot of clients are more concerned that that they think you're enjoying it, like, than you actually are. It's an ego thing. It's not about our actual pleasure, even though they might not even be consciously recognizing them that themselves. Like, so many of them they'll tell you that they love to go down on you. They love to go down on women. They're just the best at it. Like, they're just experts, and they'll rave to you about this. So, and maybe that's true, right? Like, it's true in some cases, but you can't expect you're going to be fucking fabulous at eating out a woman every woman, because we all have different bodies. And just like, I can't fuck every guy and want him to think I'm amazing, because it's just simply not how it's going to be. So many factors in it. But so if I have a client who tells me that, then I know that that's what he needs to hear in that booking. Like, he needs me to confirm that, yeah, he's fucking good at eating pussy. Like, if he doesn't walk away thinking that I think he's incredible at it, he's going to walk away disappointed, and his ego is going to be a little bit bruised. And the reason he's there to see me is not for that. It's to pump him up. It's to make him feel better, and whatever that means to whatever people, like, that's, it's an individual thing. And to give you an example of how it's an ego thing and not really about my pleasure or any of our pleasure, and there's obviously exceptions to the rule. I feel like I need to keep saying that, but one example is that you have the men or the guys that are like, come for me, baby, come for me, come for me now. I want to see you come for me. Like, you know, they know you can't just come on command. Like, you physically can't do that, right? Like, if you're not close to coming, you're not just going to come. But if you don't come, like, if they don't think you've come, they get angry. Like, they get disgruntled about it because, again, it's an ego thing. Like, the ego is bruised. They came to you to make them feel good. And if they walk away feeling inadequate because you didn't come, or they didn't perceive you to have a good time with them, then essentially that's going to diminish their pleasure. Our job is, it's an illusion. It's a fantasy. There's elements of authenticity in it, but essentially it's not real. And sometimes you just have to play into it and take each one as it comes. And I know that there's going to be men that listen to this and just be get so disgruntled by what I've said. But think about it. Like, you know, I mean, it is what it is. And if you can come, then fucking great. That's awesome. It's natural and it's good for you. But there's some occasions where you just simply can't, and that's just the way it is. You can be with your partner. I can be masturbating. I'm filming for OnlyFans, and I'm like on the video just so frustrated because I can't make myself come. And if I can't make myself come, then what hope does a man have sometimes? Like, honestly, if you're not in the mood, you're just not in the mood. Or it's just not hitting the way it's got to that day. I digressed quite a bit just then, because all I wanted to say was sex workers are not addicted to sex. But, you know, it's about the client's experience. And, yeah, sometimes we enjoy it, but we are not doing it to fulfill our sexual needs, because we can most definitely get them fulfilled in our personal life, because, hey, if people are fucking paying us, we can probably just get it for free. It'd be so much easier. Assumption number 6, sex work isn't a normal job. Well, I am going to say it isn't a normal job. And people go, what? So anti-sex work review. No, that's not true. It's not a normal job. It is a legitimate job, and it's a real job. But I don't think it is normal. I think the experience that we have are not everyday experiences, and we're kind of blessed with that. We're blessed and cursed. There's so many positives and negatives around this topic. It's isolating as for one of the negatives. It's a really stigmatizing industry, as you'd well be aware already. So that already it's not a normal job. So there's so many things that come from that. Conditions vary greatly from country to country. Again, that's not exactly a normal aspect of, I mean, a lot of industries have fluctuating conditions and things like that. But because in this industry, this comes with a level of you know, the way people look down on you, it is different. It's an industry that's used to fuel so many political debates because it's there's so many heightened emotions around this industry. So many people feel really uncomfortable with the fact that sex workers make money from an act that they so desperately want to be doing more of, or that they feel insecure about within their own lives. So this creates a lot of projection around sex and the people doing it for money. So it's a really complicated issue, and I want to delve into like all of those things in different podcasts. But because, you know, I think it's because it's such an everyday thing. It's such a big part of our lives when people are earning money by providing it, just fucks with their rationality around it, and a whole lot of unrecognized bias and entitlement comes through. And unfortunately, that projects onto sex workers and people in the industry in really negative ways. So I don't think that this is a normal job. But it is a legitimate job, and it's real, and we are so worthy of all the conditions that every other worker is entitled to. Assumption number 7, all sex workers are too dumb to have a normal job. So, there's a lot in this, obviously. So I get this so often. It's often said to me from trolls. I mean, all the time. So I often used to use a line in reply to this, which I don't anymore because it sounds really condescending to others. But for the sake of making a point, I'll say it now. Like, I would ask them what part of choosing to work for 1 hour that people spend 40 hours a week, to earn the same amount of money, makes you stupid or lacking of an intelligence. You know, like, it's really interesting that as soon as a woman is using her sexuality to her advantage, in this case, to make an income, it means she's too stupid to do anything else. Like, wow. how dumb must you be to lie on your back and let a man have his way with you, you know? Like, what? But so at this point, I truly don't think I should have to really explain how ridiculous this is, but I guess I'll go into it a little bit. So sex work is actually only partly about sex anyway. Before you get to that part, you need a client. Whether you're a dancer or independent or working in a parlor, you're always selling something. You're selling your service. You're selling yourself. You have to be marketing. You have to let people know you're here. You need skills. You need people skills. We actually have so many sales skills. People would be so jealous of our ability to sell to people if they really took it on board what we do. You're trying to get someone to invest their money in an experience with you. You can be hot and not try so hard, and sure, you might make a little bit of money, you might last a little while, maybe you won't. But the majority of the time, you need to use all of your skills. You need to be business minded, you need to be savvy, you need to be able to hustle, you need to be able to give clients an experience that they wanted. You need to actually do your job right. And to be able to make someone feel good and feel good in a sexual sense, I mean, it sounds simple, but how many times have you had sex with someone and they're not happy? Like, think about how hard that is to do anyway in an everyday job. And then put in there that someone paid you a hefty fee. So they've already got these expectations on top of this, of simply wanting to have sex with you. It's not actually that easy anyway. So there's actually a lot of skills involved other than just having sex with somebody. So if you were too dumb to do any other job, you're probably not going to do well as a sex worker anyway. And I don't even like saying that because I don't like talking about people's intelligence so negatively. But ultimately, if you don't have the skills that you need to support yourself in another role, then you're probably not going to be able to make an income as a sex worker in any sort of way. Assumption number 8, sex workers give people a legal and judgment-free way to express their desires or fantasies in a safe space. This, thank you to the person who sent in this assumption. There is so much good that our industry does and contributes to in so many different arenas. Sexuality is just clouded by layers and layers of shame and complexity from society, religion, and years of changing dynamics within our cultures. And it really feels like we're going backwards in some regards. But sexuality is diverse and it's fluid. We've created all these rules around what's normal and appropriate, and the list of what's deemed taboo is so extensive. I wouldn't even be able to list them all if I tried. So with an industry professional, people are given a space to explore their desires without fearing shame and rejection or ridicule from other people in their lives. So for someone to freely explore their sexuality is such a liberating experience, and it's so freeing as much as it is satisfying. It's a really freeing thing to experience. It's really upsetting to think that we live in this place where it's more likely you'd need to hire a professional to explore this than be able to discuss it and explore it with people in your lives that you're already intimate with. Like, that in itself is just a sad reality. The second part of this, though, is that something is so furiously debated worldwide is that because of access to sex workers, it decreases sexual assaults, rapes, and crimes relating to sex, because there is a place and way for people to release what is for some an overwhelming desire. Now, this is really heavily debated because often sexual assaults aren't actually about sex but power, and are driven from a different space than an urge to have sex. So there's been study after study done on this topic. I've referenced some in the show notes if you wanted to check them out. But essentially, the data has both pros and cons in whether it's true across different studies and within individual studies. So there's a lot of factors to consider when looking at it from this angle. And the first is simply so many assaults go unreported from the beginning. And it's near impossible to come to a conclusive answer because the data is only partially available from the start. However, the studies do use reported assaults, so there is a constant that is worked with. Another thing to consider is who completed the study and why. Prostitution is such an, like, it's debated so heavily and in every country, and there's always an agenda why these studies are being completed. So what is the agenda of the person who's done the study? Something to consider when looking at studies anyway. As most of you know, data can be skewed or in so many ways to fit that agenda that they're pushing. So the jury is out. Though I do believe that, yes, access to workers does reduce some crimes and assaults. But again, remembering that that's sex isn't usually what drives it. And then we get to assumption number 9. It is not safe for sex workers. So this is another one that's incredibly debated, and look, this might trigger some people, so I'd like to warn people that this topic gets heavy. And when I talk about this, I want to let you know that to start with, my personal view is clouded, and while I do my best to remain objective, this topic is a tough one for me to discuss. Also, these are my opinions based off my own experiences. They aren't gospel, and many people will disagree with me. If my opinions do agitate you, please just switch it off. You know, this world is really fascinating because all our perspectives are made up of our experiences, right? And sometimes we're able to listen and consider someone else's views, and sometimes they are so far from what we believe or feel comfortable with that we just simply can't. And that's okay. We can all have different views. But like I said, this comes from a personal place. So I lost a friend, Michaela Dunn, who was murdered at work by a client. So the topic of safety makes it a tough one when such a beautiful soul was lost so needlessly, and it hurts to consider that we are safe when she's gone. And the other thing is, I've been in some really, really unsafe situations too. I've been raped. I've been in situations where it could have very quickly escalated into physical assault. I've been held in rooms where I can't leave because a client was in a drug-induced paranoid episode and threatened to throw me over the balcony and was accusing me of setting the whole thing up and thought there was cameras everywhere and flip out anytime I went near my phone. I was held for 8 hours. So there's a lot of really traumatic experiences that contribute to my view. So I can't speak for everybody, but I can speak from my place and my experience around this topic. So just going into it, please, I just want you to know that's where my views stem from and why. In some areas or some places, the laws make it much more unsafe. There's many people who prey on the naivety and inexperience of workers also. There's many an agency or parlor that places income higher than a worker's safety, and it happens very frequently. The use of drugs in the industry, or the times someone will see a client that is intoxicated, you just bear in mind a lot of bookings take place in the middle of the night or after somebody's been out all night when they're at home high and bored and have nothing to do, so they hire somebody. And when somebody's in a state like that, they're not rational and they're not their best selves. There are a lot of risk factors in the industry, and while some of these can be minimized, some of them can't, and a lot of people aren't in positions where they're able to minimize and still make an income. But why this is so hard to speak up about is because you speak up about it and you talk about the negative aspects of the industry, the things that are unsafe, and people take that and run with it and use your own experience against you as to why sex work should be criminalized as a whole. So people use it for their own agenda, your experience. It puts you in a box. Like you can't talk about the risks openly because it's used against you and against the industry. And anytime you do speak up about it, that's exactly what happens. And your industry, your peers turn on you as well for talking about it. We all know the dangers and we all know the risks, but nobody wants you to talk about it for those reasons because it's turned against us. And I'm prepared to be criticized by my peers for that statement, because it's something that I find is really important to talk about, because the more we pretend it's not happening, the more isolated somebody feels when they're going through a situation where they've been in a dangerous position and it's harder for them to seek help. Also, the more we talk about it, the more ways we can find to help minimize the risks. In saying all of that though, the majority of the industry is safe. Out of all the times that I've had a really negative experience, I had a gut feeling about it, or I took appointments that I knew were high risk, or I made choices where they were risky. And that doesn't mean I was at fault by any means. It's never the victim's fault. And if you made a choice, it's because that's what you felt was best at the time. But I definitely could have done things differently to minimize the risk. And I have definitely do things that way now. And anytime I go against my own rules is usually the time that I put myself in an unsafe position. But those are only a handful of times. Out of 7 years or so, there's only a handful of really bad experiences. And I've been very busy my entire career. So that's a pretty, you know, those are good odds anyway. And like I said, I'm the one that put myself at risk or higher risk in some of those situations. But as much as I believe there's a lot of risk in the industry, there are many, many ways to create a safer environment for each other. And one of those ways is education and the lessening of stigma as well. Most workers won't report an incident because of the stigma around it, or in some states and definitely other countries, the fact that they will be the ones who end up being charged for being a sex worker, or in other states, in our country, for instance, where it's illegal to work in certain places or conditions. If you report the incident, you're the one that gets charged. So, and when clients know this, or not even clients, when offenders know this, that the likelihood of them being reported is low because of the risk to the worker, they're more inclined to do it. It just sucks so much that the laws that are put in place to protect us are not at all for protection. They're for revenue. Say in Victoria, for instance, where it's illegal for us to work from an in-call. And if you're working from an in-call, get caught working from an in-call, it's classed as an illegal brothel. It's because if you go through the process of getting a brothel license, it's obviously quite a process, and there's obviously quite a bit of money in it. One thing that is absolutely incredible about this industry, though, for all its flaws, the way that sex workers band together when somebody has been hurt or has been in a situation, yeah, when they've been hurt or assaulted, the community just bands together to support that person in absolutely every way possible. And I've never seen more generous people than when sex workers unite to help somebody that has been injured or assaulted at work. And being a part of a community like that is absolutely fucking beautiful. And on that note, I will leave it there for today, and I will continue with assumption number 10 in the next episode of Assumptions. And I would absolutely love it if you were able to hit subscribe and download just to show some support. I'd really appreciate it if you liked it, of course. And I can't wait to speak to you in the next episode and continue this discussion. Thank you very much.